Beautiful. Excellent. The numbers are done, now we can start. That's great. Welcome. Welcome to the Vines at Woodcroft on Father's Day 2021. We pause to think of the word father, the thoughts it brings to us, and so many different words. Father, pop, granddad, dad, daddy. And then there are the traditional dad jokes. It may surprise you to know that I've got so many. And I will show real restraint by not saying any of them. But have you heard? No, I won't even say that. Spring is here. Spring is here. And I think spring has been and gone and cold again. But Wednesday and Thursday were a taste of what's to come. And that's what we're here to think about. What's to come? Do you like the way I did that? I worked ages on that little bit of dialogue. What's to come? What can occur because of us, our lives, and what we offer? Whatever your thoughts today, may we celebrate love, God's love, here today. And I'm fairly certain that you'll walk out with a few thoughts and tunes to keep you company through today and the week. Thanks for being part of us here and now. A great team here today. That includes Marge and Colin, David and Trevor, and Jolie and Ringini, and her own David drummer. How about that? Have you ever... You get a clap for doing Zippo, boy. How good is that? That's amazing. That's incredible. And if you hear some extra beats, get this schmaltzy line. If you hear some extra beats today, that's the beat of Ringini's heart, because she's so proud to be up here with her own boy. This is the first time they've been up there together, and that is amazing. Oh, I'm too... Okay, no, that was for Ringini. Sorry, that wasn't for you, boy. That, sorry. Oh, okay. So we've got, also we've got Kristen, we've got Leon, Elaine, Ken, Dennis, Grant, and Kirsten. We're going to make a start. I'm sorry, have to keep your masks on, singing inside. But I was working it out, you know. If you loved the songs, you can go home, click onto the YouTube link, and then tomorrow, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, you can sing to your heart's content. So how good is that? It's the gift that keeps on giving. Okay, what a friend we have in Jesus. You're going to sit, but I bet you're going to clap. Let's go. Here we go. Singing song.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in
a third verse, and we're going to do that right at the end. So you're going to still take that song home, that hymn, song, beautiful tune. You're going to take that home with you. So verse 1 and 2 before the service, or to start the service, verse 3 at the end. So it's going to be a What a Friend We Have in Jesus sandwich. So layer of What a Friend, there's a sermon, there's the rest of the service, and then What a Friend at the end. I won't tell you that. You've done enough talking, Rob. You have to go and wave to a friend or a foe or a partner or a wink and greet somebody else. Oh, I love it, love it. Please, hello, how are you? Good to see you. Fantastic.
Morning. Peace be with you.
So we've had a Mexican wave, and that's the Vines wave. Ba-dum-tsh. Sorry. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And again.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Oh Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of Peace, mighty God.
Church where there's been two drummers. I don't really need to be here doing this, but I have to do something with my hands, otherwise it would be ridiculous. But anyway, Kristen.
Good morning. Good morning to the church. Good morning to the kids. Kids, you're welcome to come down here if you'd like to, or if Dave wants to stay there, that's fine. It's almost not even a kid anymore. There you go. Who have we got?
You're allowed to stay up here now, boy.
Welcome, welcome. Well, and good morning to everyone. Good morning to any children online at home and anyone who's just young at heart. I wonder if you remember what Rob said was our special reason for celebrating today. Do you guys remember? Sam?
The most important role.
Most important role? It is a very important role. Did you say rule the role? I'm not sure. It is a special day today. What are we celebrating today?
Day.
Yeah, it's Father's Day today. Very important role that people play in our life. We honour and recognise fathers on Father's Day, don't we? But also all of the important men in our lives. Could be grandpas. I mean, Rob had a great long list of names for the people. Just any men who care for others in our lives. We want to honour them, thank them, celebrate them, and even maybe even get them a gift. Did anyone receive a gift this morning already, or has helped organise a gift for someone else, or maybe has made something? Did you guys make anything? Go shopping? Have you been busy organising something? Yeah. You forgot? That's okay. That's all right. I remember when I was growing up, we would always, my dad really liked Dutch licorice, which is very salty but delicious. And we would always give him a bag of that, or a bag of Charlesworth nuts or something yummy, until one year when he showed us that he had so much from all the years that we'd been giving it to him that he had more than he could ever eat. So now we just ask my mum, you know, do you know anything that Dad might like for Father's Day? And we think of it that way. We all put in for thing. But what are some traditional things that we normally get as presents for Father's Day? Gabby, can you think of anything that we would normally give as a gift on Father's Day? What kinds of things? Craft, yes, socks, yep, there's lots of things. You know, on Father's Day, it's actually a really good day to remember that we have a Heavenly Father. Do you know who I'm talking about? Who am I talking about? Talking about Jesus, yeah, Jesus. God is our Heavenly Father. Yeah, he's your father, he's our father, and he's the best, most perfect father. We sometimes want to give our, you know, special men in our lives a gift, don't we? So I brought some things that I thought, just as examples, maybe, you know, even if you don't take them home today, because otherwise Mark might be a bit sad that I gave away his things. But what kind of gifts we might give to our Heavenly Father, because God is someone that we love and appreciate, and we want to show him as well. So maybe, lucky I have three, and there's three of you. So you can help me open these and see, would these be good gifts to give to our Heavenly Father? Maybe. Open it, see what it is.
Just rip it.
Yeah, just rip it.
She doesn't want the paper again.
It's a very messy wrapping job. You can open it. What do we have? Do you think that they would be a good gift for God? What do you think? Jaden, what did you open there? It is a... What is it?
Tie.
It is a tie. It is a Collingwood tie. Is that a very good gift, do you think? Is it? No, a Collingwood tie. Maybe for some, maybe for one. Maybe the rest of you have a different allegiance. Or maybe it is a... What do you think it is? It's a DVD? Yeah. A home improvement one. That was a very funny dad when I was growing up. He was always funny to watch. I don't know if anybody remembers that show. And we have a...
Cup,
a mug, a Garfield mug. Lots of guys like Garfield, right? It's a big mug. You want a big one for a man. So you can fit lots in there. But do you think that there would be good gifts for God? You think? Yeah? Because he might like to have a hot cuppa. God might, maybe. I'm not sure. He's in heaven. Maybe a DVD? Well, do you know what? These might be really great gifts for our earthly people that we care about. But God doesn't really even need a gift like this. He actually tells us in the Bible there is something that he really loves for us. It's something that he wants from us, and it's pretty easy, actually. It's up here. I don't know if you can read. Maybe you can read this one. It's a bit easier to read. Here you go. In the Bible, it tells us, you can read with me if you like, love the Lord your God, love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second most important command is this: love your neighbor as you love yourself. These two commands are the most important commands. And that's it. That's all that God asks of us. There's no gift that we can give him better than that, that we love him and love others. When we love him, we want to tell him, don't we? How do we tell him that we love him? How can we show him? Can you think? We can pray. Yeah, we can pray and we can worship. We're going to learn heaps more about active prayer and worship today, either from Marge or in the kids' church today. Let me pray for you now. Okay. Can you close your eyes and I'll pray for you? There you go. Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of love. Thank you that you love us and you give us people in our lives who love and care for us. Thank you for all the men in our church who work so hard to provide and care for the people around them. Thank you for all the men who've given us love and care, and for those who, for whatever reason, we cannot celebrate with today. We pray that we will learn to love others the way that you want us to love them. We love you, Lord, and we give you praise forever for your unending, unconditional, perfect love and for giving us everything that we need. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys, I think it is time for you to go to Sunday school, and thank you for helping me tidy up there. Let's make sure Mark gets back his tie.
And I thought you were giving it away.
Well, so did he. He said, you make sure that comes home now. Thank you. Alrighty.
Let's continue now. As a preparation for communion, we are going to lead the song Feed Us Now, a more gentler song, a way of helping us prepare and knowing about the piece of bread, glass and wine. Here we go. Let's sing now.
Feed us now, bread of love.
God.
My friends, this is a very special time in our service as we come to our communion time. It's special to us in so many ways, as there are so many different people here. But we all focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We focus upon his love for us. We think about his life, his death, and his resurrection. And indeed, his promise to be with us until the end of this world. Now, because of COVID restrictions, we obviously will do things a little differently today. We have received the bread and we will partake of that in our seats. Having had that and we move into receiving the cup, we'll come forward at the invitation to receive the cup itself at a good distance from each other and take that back to our seats where we shall share together. I thought it good, as we prepare ourselves for this time, that we should say a prayer together. And what better prayer than the one that our Lord taught his disciples and indeed has taught us as well. So let's share together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Some little time ago, I read some words from an Anglican theologian, which I want to share with you today as we share in our communion time. Some of you will have read his works. He's written many books. His name is Tom Wright, a former Anglican bishop, now a professor in a university in Scotland in New Testament studies. Now, with a background like that, you would understand he comes from the High Church. And when he refers to the chalice in the quote I want to bring to you, you will understand that whilst we have a very lovely chalice here, in some of those big churches in England, the chalice is absolutely magnificent. And so keep that in your mind as you think of his quote. He says this: for a follower of Jesus, the empty chalice has a complex beauty. But to that same follower, it is many more times beautiful, because that person knows what it will be filled with and why. As worshippers share in its contents, it will be a reminder of the death of Jesus and the meaning of that death for them. As they drink of it, they will say with Paul, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." And that's the end of the quote. And I thought this is good for us to hear, because he is saying to us that when we come to our communion, indeed, it may well be around a table like that, like this, or in our homes or out somewhere else, Our faith goes far beyond what's immediately before us. It goes much deeper than that. It's a relational faith. So as we grasp this ourselves and think about it, then as we come to our communion today, let us go into the depths of meditation as we come in thanksgiving to our God. When the good apostle reminded the church people at Corinth of the words of Jesus at that Last Supper, he was doubtless repeating words used by early Christians to that time as they gathered together. In recording the words, Paul has given us the earliest record that we have. They were important words, and over the years, Christians have treasured their meaning. So we hear them again today, and we appreciate them. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And Paul closes, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we have the gifts of God for the people of God. The good Lord, we are told, took bread and he broke it and he shared it amongst his disciples. He took a cup and he shared this amongst his disciples, and we think of the cup of salvation. I wonder whether you'll pray with me. Lord God, we come to you as a grateful people. In our Lord Jesus, we have known your love for humankind, and in the cross we have understood how deep your love is for us. As we take this bread and cup, we come with grateful thanksgiving and pray your continued blessing as we seek to be your people in a sometimes difficult world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I invite you to take the bread. As you receive it, remember that Jesus is the one who is the bread of life. So let us receive this bread with thanksgiving. And now I invite you to come to receive the cup, to take it from here and back to your seats, where we'll share together. We come row by row to do that and move around this way. I hope that works well. If you're not able to come to the table, someone will bring the cup to you. And now as we take the cup, we meditate upon the saving grace of our Lord. We come in thanksgiving. And we close this time with a prayer that comes from Bishop George Appleton, a prayer that I found so very helpful. O Lord Jesus Christ, without you I would not have known the limitless love of God. Without you I would not have known the extent of God's forgiveness or seen it in operation on the cross. Without your rescue, I would still be submerged in weakness and sin. Without you, I would not have the divine grace to transform my life. Without you, I would not have known the kingdom of God or our Father's plan to unite humanity in righteousness and love. I can never thank you enough or love you enough, my Redeemer and the Saviour of the world. Amen.
You have your glasses hooked on your left ear, you have your microphone hooked on your left ear, and you have your mask hooked on your left ear. It's all very left ear. No notices today, so Leon, let's go straight into the Bible reading. Well, I suppose there are notices, but you read them on the PowerPoint beforehand.
Good morning. There are two readings this morning. The first one comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. It is what God requires. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. The second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 9 to 10, and then from 19 to 26. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." "Oh, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me this. Our ancestors worshipped God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right? Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father, neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. But the time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you're called will not matter and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their own very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. The woman said, "I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming. When he arrives, we'll get the whole story." "I am he," said Jesus. "You don't have to wait any longer or look any further." This is the word of the Lord.
Actually, let's start again. I've got this great idea. You might not like it, but I think it's fantastic. Verse 2 of this hymn goes, "In simple trust there, like theirs who heard, beside the Syrian sea." Now, if ever all of you go like this, it sounds just like the sea. I heard it. I heard it when you pulled your bread out. So, "In simple trust like theirs who heard, beside the Syrian sea." How about that? That's a way that you can, this is Rob helping you to engage in worship. You can't sing, but you can make your sea sound. Don't even have to hold a shell up your ear. That's a dumb idea, Rob. But anyway, it's recorded now forever. Let's go. Let's sing the song and enjoy the Syrian sea.
Bye.
Leon was going to bring the offering right now, but he's just walked out the back door. So could just somebody up the back just bring the offering for it? Thank you, Elaine. That's amazing. We can do this. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you that you are the light of the world, guiding our steps on your path. Your word says that the earth is yours and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to you. We acknowledge that our very lives belong to you. We now offer back to you a portion of what you have given us. Prepare our journey, guide our footsteps, and watch over us on every path that we follow. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Now the Dredge tag team will continue. So Colin sat down, Marge is about to jump up.
It's a little bit strange, isn't it?
No, but not
I tell you what, the best thing about being up here is I could take off that wretched mask. Maybe you could all have a go.
Up here? That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. It's a real privilege to bring the message this morning. And I would add my wishes to all the dads for a happy day today. We've never celebrated it very much because for most of our life with our children, we live far away from grandparents and Sunday was always really busy. So what happened, happened. But he seems to have survived fairly well. So, as Rob reminded us, spring has sprung. It's a little better than they thought it was going to be today, but it's not supposed to get cold again. It's supposed to get warmer and warmer. Springtime signifies new life and new growth. In so many ways, it's a time of renewal after the cold, wet winter, and it's been cold and wet, hasn't it? The flower gardens are coming to life. It's just beautiful to look around at the multitude of colour that is around now. In the rural areas, crops are looking magnificent. There is beauty all around. There is hope and there is promise. Maybe it also is a time for new dreams and visions for our church. What does it really mean for us to be the church in this place? How should we look? Who should we be? This series of messages is about exploring and owning the core values that we have for our church and what they mean for our future. Our mission statement suggests that God is calling us as the Vines Uniting Church here in Ranelagh to be a vibrant, growing community reaching out in God's love. I feel it's a little more than that. It seems to me that the word in suggests comfort. But I believe we need to be vibrant people reaching out with God's love, taking it with us, which is much more challenging because it actually means stepping out of our comfort zone and being willing to take risks for the sake of the kingdom. But we know that we can never be or do what God desires of us if we simply try to do it on our own. Last Sunday, Ian began the series by reminding us that our core values start with recognising that Jesus is Lord and having faith in the Holy Spirit to lead us as we seek wisdom and direction from the scriptures, which I think gives us a pretty clear picture of how our lives should be as we see the life and ministry of Jesus unfold through its pages. It's always challenging to speak on other people's themes, but I was actually quite pleased when David asked me to speak on these two core values, active prayer and authentic worship, because it seems to me that effective life-giving ministry will start right there. They are at the very heart of the matter. So how do we understand active prayer and authentic worship? What do they look like? There are so many people in our community who struggle with the concept of God as Father because of their experience of an earthly father. I have to say that in my experience, when I discovered the truth of the love of the Heavenly Father, I was transformed. At the age of 9, at a beach mission at Burleigh Heads in Queensland, I was introduced to God. Here I was being told of one who loved me unconditionally and totally, and who would never let me go. How I longed for that as an insecure, frightened little girl. Of course, I didn't understand the magnitude of that love at that time. And I spent a lot of time, I can remember, standing against the wall and banging my head against the wall and saying, please, Lord, forgive me, because I kept thinking I was doing things wrong. But in time, I grew to understand what a truly precious revelation that was for me. It has sustained me ever since over a long journey. And over the years, I've had the privilege of sharing faith journeys with many people. And many of them have struggled with the concept of God as Father and have explored images which were more helpful to them. The Hebrew people used names which reflected the multifaceted nature of God. No single word adequately describes God. God is beyond our concept and as mere humans that we can ever imagine. God is the great creator, the Lord of all, Father of all, Mother of all, Saviour, Redeemer and friend of all, and desires most that we might be in relationship with him, with each other, and with all creation. So how we name this supreme being doesn't matter, but the relationship with the one who is the giver of life does. And the open pathway to this relationship is prayer. I read this little tale about a small town that had historically been dry. That doesn't mean the weather. A local businessman decided to build a tavern. A group of Christians from a local church were concerned and planned an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. It just so happened that shortly after that, lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. The owner of the bar sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. But the church hired a lawyer to argue in court that they were not responsible. The presiding judge, after his initial review of the case, stated that no matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer, and the Christians do not. I thought that was really good. If we do not believe that prayer is the absolute essential aspect of a living relationship with God, then we might as well give up. Prayer is the means by which we connect with God at the innermost part of our being, where we become one with God. And that's amazing. We know that we can only get the best out of any human relationship if we actually establish a two-way connection, if we pay attention to the other, listen to the other, and really get to know them. I suspect that we don't always do that very well. But it is the same with our relationship with God. There is a time for talk and a time for silence, listening for that still, small voice. And there is a time for simply appreciating the wonder of it all. It is easier then to make the right choices as we seek to live within God's will. How do we ever know what is God's will for us? Well, I think the prophet Micah told us. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And it seems to me that Jesus made it clear when he said, honour God, follow me, love one another, treat each other with respect, care for the broken and lonely. So maybe a way to describe active prayer could be awareness, living in an attitude of prayer, moment by moment awareness, and learning to trust it as the forum in which God communicates, prompting us to action as much as meeting us at our point of need. Of course, that does not mean getting around with hands clasped and heads bowed all the time, being so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good, but rather being aware of the wonder and grace of God that is revealed in every experience of our life. Of course, there are times of deep need when we will choose to find a quiet place and lay our concerns and cares before God. But really, prayer is the everyday communion with the one who gives us life. Many times I have simply prayed, please, Lord, don't let anything happen today that you and I cannot handle. The silent acknowledgement that God will be present in my day. On our recent trip through far west Queensland, we had some interesting experiences, and those of you who are my friends on Facebook would have seen images of those. But one of the most profound for me was, as we headed across this vast open space, as far west as you could get on a proper road, there was hardly a tree, small bushes, tough grasses, and it was flat as. I was reflecting on the intricate nature of God's creation. And as I looked at the amazing clouds, I suddenly realised for the first time that the horizon was not flat. No matter which way I turned, the horizon was encircling us. To me, it was a moment of deep appreciation for God's love, which constantly surrounds us. It was a beautiful moment, for me, a moment of worship. Prayer is the response of mind and heart to the supreme other. There are times when we pour out our hearts in words. There are times when thoughts are too deep for words. Sometimes even feelings too deep for thoughts. When the still silence of love received and love given is the highest form of communion. This is very powerful and wonderful. However, there are times when God requires us to be the hands and feet which are part of the answer to the prayer. After all, to truly reflect Jesus in our daily living, we need to be doing what he did. God has chosen on to carry on the work of Jesus, and this us to carry on that work, and this will mean sometimes having to step out of that comfort zone and reach out with God's love to the hurting, frightened, disenfranchised, and lonely people in our community. So as we meet here on Sunday by Sunday, the assumption should be that we gather after a time of engagement and ministry of embodying and representing Jesus at home, at work, or at play, to be re-energized for the week ahead. We worship here not because God needs to be praised, but because we need to praise God. We need to glorify God. And I thank our worship team so much, all of them, week by week, who put together this service so that our hearts, minds, and souls are inspired, renewed, and restored for the journey that lies ahead. Authentic worship. Authentic worship will continue as we seek to glorify God in our daily lives, even as Jesus did. As we appreciate the beauty around us, as we grasp the special God moments, and as we reach out with love to those who do not know the awesomeness of a relationship with God. Maybe we can offer them just a glimpse of that amazing grace and love that is theirs for the acceptance. That is authentic worship. When Jesus had that conversation with the Samaritan woman, she challenged him. Our ancestors worship God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right? Jesus answered, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. But the time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you're called will not matter and where you go will not matter. It is who you are," and these are words for us, "it is who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration." So prayer and worship are intertwined. Prayer is the pathway which connects us to God. Worship in spirit taps into the very best part of us. Worship in truth nurtures a healthy, holistic relationship with God, which expresses itself in times of praise, but also in the way we conduct ourselves as we live out our lives for God. As I close, I'd like to share these words from Onwe Nguyen in his book, With Open Hands. "Praying is not simply some necessary compartment in the daily schedule of a Christian, or a source of support in times of need, nor is it restricted to Sunday morning or mealtimes. Praying is living. It is eating and drinking, action and rest, teaching, learning, playing and working. Praying pervades every aspect of our lives. It is the unceasing recognition that God is wherever we are, always inviting us to come closer and to celebrate the divine gift of being alive. So as we go from here today, let us always remember that Jesus meets us where we are, at the well, at the tax collector's table, at our homes. He meets us in our work and in our leisure. God is everywhere, and we can worship him everywhere, in spirit and in truth. Active prayer, authentic worship. Amen.
It is nice to be unmasked. And now I can put my glasses on and not fog up. So thank you, Marge, for your beautiful words of encouragement. And now let's join together in praying for others. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, our Creator and Redeemer, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we come before you blessed by your forgiveness and grace through the cross, and ask how we, your people, can share the love of Christ to bring hope to this troubled world. We ask your blessing on all dads today as they celebrate Father's Day, praying that time with loved ones will bring joy to families. But we pray also for those where there is no father to celebrate, no loving father to celebrate, or where relationships are broken. Please watch over those who don't know of your love, Lord, and care for their needs at this time. And Lord, we pray for the situation in Afghanistan, thankful for those who have been able to flee the country. We pray that these people will find acceptance in their new homelands. Raise up people of faith who can offer them hope and support. And we pray also for those who wish to leave but have been unable to do so. We pray that the Taliban will allow others to help evacuate these people without bloodshed or violence in any way. And we pray that they too will find new homes around the world where they will also be given a new start. And in the COVID situation, it still causes concern around the world, so we pray especially for our homeland. Lord, we ask for your wisdom to be given to all in authority who make decisions daily regarding the way forward. May those who are struggling with loneliness, business concerns, joblessness, student studies, more and more, may they be supported through this time of trial. We pray that the vaccine rollout will bring opportunities for families to reunite, support business, and allow our hospitals and medical facilities to continue without further stress. We pray for all who work in our hospitals that they may have sufficient rest to keep healthy and be able to have valuable family and time out. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, the body of Christ here at the Vines. We name silently before you now those who we know who need a loving touch from you this day. Hear our prayers, dear Lord. And we pray for our leaders and all who call the Vines Church home. Lord, help us to understand more clearly how we can be your witnesses to a hurting world. Daily encourage us to be prayerful, seeking opportunities to shine the light of Christ where there is hurt or disappointment. Give us courage as we step out in faith, using the gifts that you have given us to encourage others to open their hearts to the love, forgiveness and grace that Christ has given us, that they too may come to know the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.
Totally new song, and a song that, well, we're going to be able to use it when we can sing again. Beautiful words. Golly, I love this all. Man, it's fantastic. Let's go.
writer tells his story. Artist tells his view. Lady tells your fortune. I will tell of you. Let your word fill my days. Let your music fill my ears. Let your song fill my life.
Three claps, mate. Can't you believe that? Thank you, Marge.
That was beautiful, wasn't it?
It's the words, not the people who did it.
The people who did it as well. No, we certainly appreciate the ministry that you bring to us week by week. Let us go out with these words. May God, our Creator, renew in us the creative spirit that brings healing and life to our world. May Jesus the Christ uphold us in grace and love. May the Holy Spirit fill us with courage to be bearers of God's song of hope in the world. Amen. Go out in grace to love and serve the Lord.
Verse 3 of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Here we go. Four, and here we go.
Are we weak and heavy laden? Come and win. Friends.
He's incredible. Thank you very much. You will find a solace there.